Okay, Roger. Hello. Okay, a couple of things. Today, Bez Hashem, we're going to start the five-part series on Inyanei Tashlich. Five-part series. Okay? That'll take us through this week into Tzom Gedalia, Bez Hashem. And then we'll have Inyanei Sukkos. And then we have to do Parshi Shir. We have a lot of Parshias. Nitzavim Vayelech, Hazinu Zos Habracha. And then, of course, Brachos will be come back after Sukkot. You can't miss the Parshas, right? So we have a lot to do. Kedushin we'll put on hold for the time being, because that will do, you know, after. We did already, 4 weeks of Kedushin? 4 weeks of Kedushin. So we'll probably do like 2 more weeks when we come back, and then we'll probably do Chazar or something like that. Something on that line, and then we'll have a Bechina, and then we'll start the second part of Kedushin, etc. Okay, so we would like to wish a Mazel Tov to our dear friend Tzachi Khan upon his engagement. Mazel Tov, Yelon, Lechol Yisrael, Simin Tov, Mazel Tov, Yehilon, Lechol Yisrael, Simin Tov, Mazel Tov, Simin Tov, Mazel Tov, Yehilon, Lechol Yisrael, Simin Tov, Mazel Tov. Simin Tov, Mazel Tov, Yehilonu, Lechol Yisrael. Simin Tov, Mazel Tov, Yehilonu, Lechol Yisrael. Simin Tov, Mazel Tov, Yehilonu, Lechol Yisrael. Simin Tov, Mazel Tov. Okay. The Ramah in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and Tav Kuf Pei Gimel Siv Beis says V'holchim El Hanar Lomar Pasuk V'sach Shluch B'mtzulos Yom Kol Chatoso. Right, we say the Pasuk in Micha Mikel Kamochna, and I think the Ari says that there are 13 words connected to Sholosh as the Shlosh Midos Rachamim, and that's the ikur of the Tashlich, saying those psukim in Micha by the Nohar. In other words, we'll see this idea that people throw bread and this and that. Doesn't say that in the Ramah. So I wanted you to, you know, to show you how to trace through a minhag. I wrote a sefer on minhag. Maybe we'll write a second sefer, but show you, you know, what is this minhag? What is it all about? So this is the Friedman Shulchan Aruch. So by Holchin, you see he has a Zion there, that little Zion by Holchin. So you look in the Tziyun of Ramah, he quotes the sefer minhagim. We'll see that. I'll introduce you. If you never saw that sefer in your life, I have to introduce you to that sefer. But after that, it's a Mariel. He quotes the Mariel. Now, Mariel is like one of the classic svarim of Minhagim. Right? Minhagi Ashkenaz from the Mariel. So, let's look in the Mariel. That's the original source. That's what I'm more is basing it on. Page 4 and 5. Omer Mari Segel, Mashanogim Leilech Berosh Hashanah Achar Suda Eitzel Yomim in the Horus, the Isbechil Yontif. So there's some issue of Chil Yontif. We have to see what that is. Kami Mizdamel Ogoy Eitzel Naikach Menu Lechem. He says he doesn't like this idea of taking the bread. But now let's see what it's based on. Says the Mariel, page 5, Sh'ovar Avram Avinu Benohar at Savoro. In other words, the Medrash says that the Satan made a Nohar in front of Avram Avinu. La'akev oso min akeda. And what did Avram do? He kept persevering. And the Medrash, if you want to see the Medrash inside, the Medrash is here in the Tanhuma, on page 6 and 7. Bayom HaShlishi, page 6 in the Medrash Tanhuma. Ki miyachash adev pro v'lom v'nisakim shloshi yom kevin shor shalvo kiblu v'meru holach v'rasim v'neim nar godol miyad yoram v'tocha mayim v'yigiu ad birko. Whereas the serpent made a nar to put an impediment, and Avram just persevered. And then the Medrash continues, 3 lines of the nar. Came to Giyu at Chatzi Hanar, he gave Mayim at Savaro. In other words, he was mamish up to the neck. So also Shah told Avram Einov L'Shamayim. So he said, "Amar l'chad of Ribonu Shalolam bechartani v'orisani nivlesi li v'amartali ani yochid v'ato yochid al yadcha yivada shemi v'olomoy v'ela yitzchak bincha l'fanay la'ola v'lo yikafti." He says, "What do you want from me? You commanded me. I'm doing your commandment. And now v'areini osik b'tzuvu yecha v'achshav bo ma'im ad nefesh." He says, "Ani o Yitzchak b'ni Toveya, mi yikaye mamarcha? Who's going to fulfill your words? Mi yisyached mshmecha? Who's going to believe in monotheism?" So Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu chayecha shal yadcha yischaicha shmi ba'olam miad gar Hakadosh Baruch Hu samayin v'yovesh anar v'omed bayabasha. So Hashem right away took away the yam, and this is also brought down in the Yalkut Shimoni. Here on the next page. So to remember this Maisa, that's the original reason why we go to Tashlich. Like the Mariel, he quotes the Medrash, and I want to say something. I think is to explain this further. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And 2, I don't make the connection between that and Tashlich. It's a great story, but okay, why
to remind us of that episode.
Why Rosh Hashanah?
Because the Akedah maybe was on. I mean, we read the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah.
What does that have to do with our Karatah? The whole idea that you throw out whatever comments you have in your pockets.
Okay, we didn't get to that yet. Let's go slowly. So I think the message here, this is I gave Shiram in a different place. I think the message here is a message I once put in a packet a year or two ago, maybe, from the Chasam Sofer, and I think it's a beautiful idea in life. Okay, well, I mean, what's the point here? The Chasam Sofer says the first alchet. What's the first alchet that we do? Alchet shechatanu chanecha ba'ones uveratzu. So the Chasam Sofer in the Drasha says an unbelievable vort. It's not the Pashup Shad in it, but it's a true vort. True vort. It is like this. He says, "I understand Ratzon. You did something by Ratzon. You understand there's an alchay for that. But what's the onus? Why are we, if we were under duress, there was an onus, why are we Like an onus happened. I couldn't get there. I was supposed to get someplace and there's an onus happened. So why am I clapping al chait for that? So the Chasam Sofer says, because certain people in life who are happy or maybe even yearn to have an excuse for something. In other words, you were supposed to do something and you really didn't want to do it, but it doesn't look good if you don't do it. But if there's an excuse, then you can be tolerated on the excuse. Face it, it was raining, it was snowing, it was this, it was that. You know, so you have your excuse. So some people like want to have an excuse. So sometimes there's a rotzon to have an onus. And we have to klap al chait for wanting to have an onus. But the opposite is by Avraham Avinu. I once saw one of the Sfarim, maybe, that said the following. Well, a certain sefer once said, what happened by Avraham Avinu? It says, by Yibaka Atze Olo. Right? So you know what Avraham Avinu did? He took the wood with him from the ghetto. He had a schlep for 2 days carrying this heavy wood. Wouldn't it have been more logical if he would have just got the wood at the Akedah site? Right? So what are the Sfarim rights? You know what the Pshat is? Because, you see, if a person really doesn't want to do Ratzon Hashem, so this is what he would have done. He wouldn't have taken any wood. But get to that Akedah site and take it. I couldn't find any wood over there. So what? Okay? But Avram was afraid. Maybe there won't be any wood. So to make sure he'll be able to do it, he took the wood with him. Now, it's the opposite of, you know, this notion of wanting an onus to happen. So this is the ultimate onus. You know, he could have very easily said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I wanted to do it, but there's a yam here in front of me. So, and then he didn't have to go further. That would have been a good excuse. But you see, the messer of Avraham Avinu is that he's a person who wanted to do Ratzon Hashem. So that episode is a good reminder of us when we start the new year. You know, in life there'll always be excuses. You want an excuse, there's an excuse for everything. Why didn't you go? Why did you do? Blah, blah, blah. There's always going to be an excuse. There'll always be an excuse in life. But, you know, the idea being is that we're not looking for excuses. We want to do Ratzon Hashem. So we're reminded by that. Good. Now look at the Magen Avraham. Hanar. Sheyesh bo dagim chayim. The Magen Avraham says it should be a place where there's fish. So who is he quoting from the Sefer HaMinhagim? So I don't know if any of you have opened up a Sefer HaMinhagim in your life. So I'm going to open it up for you on page 9. The Sefer HaMinhagim was written by Rabbi Isaac Turner. Okay? He wrote... what year was he? Look at your phone to tell me what year of Isaac Turner Sefer HaMinhagim was quoted in the Magen Avraham. It's a classic Sefer, but most people never even heard of it. But it's quoted on the Shulchan Aruch all the time. But most people, you know, don't have the wherewithal to get a Sefer HaMinhagim. So Baruch Hashem, yeah, what year? 1841? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. What? Right. Yeah, so here, right? Yeah. Doesn't work. Right. Because Stephen Mahogany from Isaac Turner. Yeah, what is it?
He was active in the late 14th century.
So which 14. 14.20 as well. 14.20. Okay, so he says, look at the top. He says, Rogim dogim chayim. And then we have the Hagosam and Hagim at the bottom. So the second arrow says, Liskoshano Mishulim Kedogim Chayim Halolo Shenechozim Pisom Bemitsuda. So the revised interior says, what's the idea of Dogim? So he says, there's other reasons, but the reason he gives is because fish is very happy in the sea, swimming along, right? But one day, that's for sure, someone could come with their net and capture it. So it's like a real scary thing. Anu mishulim kedogim chayim, that we are like dogim chayim. Who knows that something could, you know, we have to pray to Hashem that He gives us a year of health and good things, because, you know, like the same Shiloh Torah points out, it's, you know, nothing is guaranteed. Just like the fish, one day he can be caught, and that's it. So, in the Sefer Parshas Eliezer, he also quotes another idea which I like. It's, which I think is more of a Musar Haskel. This is more scary, like this idea that you have to view yourself like you're a fish in sea, that any day someone could come and capture you. It's a little bit, He says, you know, the Gemara says in Bracha Yidgul Arok Bekerav Haaretz that Yosef is Bracha Yosef Shelo Shaltam Ayin Hara. That Dagim are covered up. There's no Ayin Hara. They're covered up. And in other words, the idea being that a person in life has to, you know, keep a low, like remember Yosef Rabinowitz on Sal said, you have to keep a low profile. Not flaunt yourself, etc., like the Dagim Shabiyam. But that's the minute. Now, before we go any further, I want to show you one other thing in page 10 from the Sefer Torah Sa'ola. Who wrote the Torah Sa'ola? The Ramah. The Ramah, you know, wrote a Sefer, he wrote many Sfarim. It's more of like a philosophical Sefer, Torah Sa'ola. And he discusses the minute of Pashta, but he doesn't say this whole thing with the Medrash, he has a whole different reason. What? You mean the Mechir Yayin? Mechir Yayin is on, yeah, even different than that. Yeah, that's on the Gilan Testament. The Taras Ha'olah is from the Ramon. So he writes like this. Minig Shal Yisrael Torahu. Originally, when the world was created, there was water all over. There wasn't like we have today, there's the place of the water and then there's the land. It was all over. So what does Hashem do? What does the pasuk say? Yikavu ha'mayim l'mokom echad v'sayiroa ha'yabosha. Right? That all the water should be in one particular place, and the earth should sayiroa ha'yabosha. But the fact that it doesn't go back. There was the real way to see creation, the way you see creation, when you stand by the ocean, by the sea, that's what you think of the creation of Hashem. Because you see what Hashem did. Hashem took the ocean
and he pushed it off the landmass and he kept it in that place. And the fact that he still keeps it there, and it doesn't come, the whole ocean doesn't come back, is indicative of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's constant involvement in the world. So this notion that we see, that we think about the Bria Sa'olam and a Kadosh Baruch Hu's constant involvement of the world, is what is seen when you go to the Nahar. Because, and Rosh Hashanah is about Bria Sa'olam, so that's, so the idea of seeing that not only Hashem created the world, but he's constantly involved in keeping the world fit for human beings to live there, you see by going to the Yam. And that's the pasuk that's quoted in Tehillim, Vul Samta Bal Yavorun Bal Yeshuvun L'chasos Ha'aretz. Hashem put boundaries, and he keeps those boundaries. So this is a totally different approach than what the Ramah, you know, the Maril, which probably the Ramah was based on, but a different approach. Okay, let's talk a little bit now about this concept what people do, that they feed, people go to the Tashlich, the old minhag was that they would take bread. Everyone knew you had to take bread to Tashlich to throw it in the, people viewed it as they're throwing away their sins, they're throwing away the bread, that was throwing away their sins, which is obviously very simplistic and, it would be as easy as that, to just throw away your sins. And, you know, they say this, Shem Shmuel, as I said, I forget one of the Rebbe's, that the Talmidim followed the Rebbe to Tashlich. He says, why are you following the Rebbe to Tashlich? He says, was the Rebbe throwing away his sins, but what's a sin for him is a mitzvah for me. Because he's on such a madrega, so, you know, his sins, by me, you know, is a mitzvah. So I'm trying to get his averus, his averus, you know. Okay. But Lemaisa, there is a discussion in the poskim, is it a proper thing to throw bread into the yam? So, if you take a look, let's take a look in the Rambam. On page 13. Dogim va'ofos, the chaya, shehein muktzo, ein mashkinos abiyontif. In other words, things that are muktza, you can't feed them on yontif. If ain't no snoop for them, zol shem yovel likach mehem. Because we're afraid that if you're going to come to feed it, you'll come to what? To pick it up. Like if you feed an animal that's muktza, then you'll come to move the muktza. So the Rambam says the general rule is anything that I can't move on Shabbos, then I can't feed either. Because, in other words, if you have something that's not mukta, that's prepared before, it's in your domain, so then you can pick it up maybe. Because it was already mukhan from before. But anything that's not mukhan from before, so you can't feed because you couldn't come to violate Tiltul Muktzah. So look at Shulchan Aruch, how this brought down page 15. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Dogim va'ofos v'chaya shehei muktzah ein mashkinos obiyotif ein nosnim lefnei mezonos sheva yovo likach mehem v'chol she'osu lochlo l'shtamish v'ishu muktzah osu l'talfu.
So how does this fit in here? Now, Lashon HaRambam, so now let's look at the Magen Avraham. So first, look at the end of the Magen Avraham, last three lines. In the middle of the line, it says, "We call Mokum." Nearly the Kuli Al Madafka Lefnei Mamish Asalite. Habarichov Mehem Ktsas Mutalite. He says that's only if you put the food right in front of the thing, then you might come to touch the animal, you move the animal. But if the animal is in the ocean, the fish are in the ocean, and you're just throwing it into the ocean, there's no chashash that you're going to come to, you know, touch the fish or move the fish. So the Magen Avraham says that shouldn't apply to it. But there's another halacha that I want to show you. So look at Shulchan Aruch, Shin Chav Daled Yud Aleph, page 18. He says, Ein nos ni mayim v'lo mezonos lefnei devorim. So you can't put water or food in front of the bees. Velo lifnei yone shovach, or in front of the pigeons that are in the coop. Yone aliyah. Velo lifnei chazir. Velo noslim lifnei avazim v'tarnigolim v'yone beisios. V'chei lifnei kelev shemen zonoso v'alecha. So what's this idea? The idea being that what? You can, like Shechter points out, you can't give food to an animal that you are not responsible for on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Concept mizonosov olav. So your animal, in other words, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, okay, take a look at the Rambam, it makes it clear on page 19. In other words, you have an animal in your own property. That's in your own property. So that's your responsibility now to feed it, because you took it in, this animal. Vioni habayis, or a pigeon that's in your house. Vavazin the tarnigolim, or you say you have a coop of tarnigolim. Vomisha aim is a nosov olav. In other words, but animals that are not under your jurisdiction, under your responsibility, go chazir, v'yone shovach u'dvorim, lo yitei lefneim, lo mozev lo mayim. So then, you're not allowed to feed. So why is that? What would you say?
The
What? What do you think? So how would you explain? What's the difference? Why is that?
Self-sustaining versus not being able to.
I mean, things that are, say your pet that you have at home. So what's that?
It's not able to get food.
Depend upon you. Right, and the stuff that's not dependent upon you.
It's
going to
be most of you.
So what's the issue? Why is it?
What?
Is it so then you're not supposed to do it? It's self-sustaining without you.
Right.
So then you can't do it. So why can't you do it? Say you want to do it. So what's the issue? Why would Chazal ask it?
He said perhaps you'll be able to take it and it might not be shyness.
Is it because you're afraid you're going to take it and violate what?
Perhaps if it's we're talking about Shabbos, maybe you'll carry on Shabbos. Or touch something that's a book that we're.
And if it's Yantif?
If it's Yantif, then I think. Something
with the fact that it might be books of these years, it might not have any relevance to these years, not able to either use it. Is it more? Yeah. So let's take a look. I hear what you're saying. Let's take a look at the Magen Avraham near page 18. Then we'll see if he says what you said, okay? Josh. He says, "Well, nosdim v'chein lefnei kelev." You can put it in front of a kelev. Says the Magen Avraham, "Mashmah Gemara, feel kelev she'ena megad lo b'beis v'mutter. The mitzvah litein lo mazonos." So kelev, what? Well, he's saying a kelev anyway is a mitzvah to give a kelev. Why? What?
Was
the asylum when we left Mitzrayim? So that's a separate din. So maybe. We'll see. And then he says, "Yesh nogim losays chitim b'Shabbos Shira lefnei ha'ofos." Right, there was a minute to feed the pigeons on Shabbos Shira. You still have that minute?
I heard of it.
You heard of it. He says, "Ve'inu nochem she'ein mizonos of alecha." Obviously, it's talking about when there's an eruv or in your backyard. Because you can't carry. You know, if there's no eruv, and so they can't carry the bread anyway. So we're talking about there is an eruv. So it says, "Ein anochem she'ein mezonosov alecha." Beis Yosef should look at the veil of Tommy. So what does the oldest Talmud say? So let's look on page 20. So it seems from this halacha that it depends upon whether the mizonos of alecha or not. So certainly when you go to the like Rav Shachter pointed out, certainly when you go to the ocean on Rosh Hashanah, you're throwing the bread, those fish are not mizonosecha alecha. Right? So as Rav Harfin has pointed out, basically there are two issues in feeding things on Shabbos. One is the issue of if you feed something as muktzah, then we're afraid you shouldn't feed it because you might come to move the muktzah. Right? So, and then the Magen Avraham said, but that only is if you're right near it. But if you're on the earth and you're throwing it into the ocean, there's no chashash you're going to move the animal. But then there's a separate issue of mizonosecha alecha. So we have to try to understand better what's that all about. So look on page 20 in the Olas Shabbos. So he says that he wants to make a distinction between when something is incumbent upon you. Well, what if it's not incumbent upon you, but it has other resources, like Josh said? So it seems that from the Ola Shabbos that is it that it's totally whether it's mine or not? So if it's mine, then I'm obligated to take care of it. That's one way you can look at if it's not mine, then it's... Or is it? Does it have to do with, like what Josh said, whether it has other food options, even if it's not mine? So he says... So he says, "We table sugars hagemara, the mezonos lo shchichu, chemucha lochon atadim asis nektani nosim mayim lemorsha." Okay, so let me explain this to you. If you take a look. They say something is Yonei Shovach. The Vadim was also love. And Chazal Amru came to Shchichu Lubimaya. The Dabra in the Torah Mechinim. Who didn't even know the same as much as Shchichu Lubimaya? In other words, he says it's not necessarily totally whether they're yours or not. In other words, if they're yours, but they have ways of getting their own food, then also not. In other words, so the Ola Shabbos is doing it from the perspective of whether it has another option or not. If it has an option, then even if it's yours, you shouldn't give it. Whereas the Magen Avraham is arguing with this and saying it's totally on whether it's yours or not, except for the Kelev case. So in the case of the Ophos, he says you shouldn't give the Ophos, the Magen Avraham says, you shouldn't give the Ophos on Shabbos Shira because they're not yours. Right? And he says that's not like the older Shabbos. Because if they don't have their own mezuzah, even if they're not yours, you could feed them.
What's the reason behind that?
Now, so what's the whole? So it seems from the older Shabbos that the whole issue here is tircha shelo l'tzarech. That's the idea. Whereas tircha shelo l'tzarech. Whereas on Shabbos, you're not supposed to be matriach. So things that are either the animal's not going to get on his own, or it's mine, so I'm responsible for it, so then I have to feed. But things that are not mine, then I don't have to feed. So it's a tircha shelo l'tzarech. So these are two separate reasons of issues of feeding animals on Shabbos. One is a question of tiltul muktzah, that if you're going to feed it, and if the animal's muktzah, it means it wasn't, you know, under your jurisdiction from before Shabbos or Yontif, so it's not in your locale, so now it came by, so it could be muktzah, so if you move it, it would be muktzah, so you can't feed it. That's one issue. And the second issue is an issue of, if it's not mizonos secha alecha, which the Magen Avraham seemingly says it means it's not yours, that it's a tircha shelo l'tzarech, or according to the Ola Shabbos, not so much about whether it's yours or not, but more like what Josh was saying, does it have another option of getting food? And if it does, even if it's yours, you don't have to feed it, because it has another way of getting food, because that's called tircha shelo l'tzarech. So if you look, Rabbi, in the Sefer Mekadesh Yisrael by Rav Harfenis, so he goes through this shaila. He says, Sheila, mal be'es amirs tashlich b'Rosh Hashanah lachil pasla dogim, mach sh'anar hu b'toch ha'erev. He says, im yesh erev b'ir v'amayim b'toch ha'erev hu omed rochach b'ktas ben hanar mutter. So let's see. He says maybe it's okay. Why? See, close to Mariel. Mariel calls him Lahazik Shalom Nars Beyond Shalom Shumosa. Right? The Mariel that we saw originally says that you shouldn't feed the animals, and he gives two reasons. Isur Hatsa, if it's Chutz La'erev, you're doing Malacha of Hatsa. And the other idea is that the fish are Muktzah. Right, because they weren't in your jurisdiction from before, you didn't catch them before Yontif. So if you say that, the svara, the dogim are muktzim. Right, all the fish in the ocean on Shabbos and Yontif are muktzah. So there's one halacha of not feeding muktzah. But the Magen Avraham says that that's only if it's mamish lefnei, right? So the Chorav, according to the Magen Avraham, that whole thing of feeding muktzah doesn't apply to a scenario where you just toss something into the ocean. But what about the other reason of ve'im mizonosach ha'malecha? So Mihu, page 21 on the bottom, last three lines, the Chori Yesh Lesor Mitamachem, Tzrei Ein Mizonas Hadagim Mutol Olof. He says, no, you're not, it's not your responsibility to feed the fish. V'vur B'Shulchan Aruch, next page 22, She'osu L'achel B'Shabbos V'edim B'Yadol Bal Chaim She'im Mizonas Olof V'shom Tircha Shalol L'Tzarech. That's the key. Tircha Shalol L'Tzarech. Because it's not your the emes are easy machzis a shekel shemim mariel sheminu shel shloch the nar pas lechem ladogim uminu garua shemitzon ozach molecha mi lo mitzah came in mariel v'gam ma shetzion came the sin of tov tzad izayim lo mitzah sham tamzel tamach rina. V'emes sarchin al mariel. There was, if the Mariel saying the reason of the Ein Mizonos HaMalecha, but what about the reason of Muktzah? So he says, like if you have a fish tank at home, right? Like he says, Rav Hoffman, if you have a fish tank at home, so then you can feed those fish because those mezonos achav alecha, you're responsible for. You took it into your domain, so you're responsible to feed it. But the fish in the ocean, you're not, is not mezonos achav alecha, so that's called a tircha shelo l'tzorach. So, and it's interesting that the Dogel Mervava says that the whole discussion of the Muktza thing, but then he wants to give another svar. He says, "Ulai Yeshlomosh isn't a sinus machal bal chayim ein mazonos alecha eichel osa tzorach zos l'tzrachav." So if anyone wants to say a svara, you see, we don't really, we're not doing it for their good. We're doing it for our own good. So then maybe the concept of Tircha Shalom Tzarech wouldn't apply. Because you're not doing it. You're doing it because you feel that there's some minion of doing this. And then there's another issue that Rav Shechter points out, that Hotzah Shalom Tzorach, if you're not allowed to carry something in the street, if it's Lachor, this is not, probably not considered a Tzorach. So he wants to say that maybe if you're throwing it from afar, so then the svar of muktzah doesn't apply, and maybe the zavnos on alecha, because the tircha shelo l'tzorach maybe only means if you really are doing it for the purpose of the fish. If you're doing it for your own thing, whatever minug there was in terms of ridding yourself from averus, or at least that should, you know, encourage you to get rid of your averus. So then maybe the svar of mezonos on alecha that is also wouldn't apply, because he wants to say maybe mezonos on alecha only applies when you're doing it for the sorek of the balkai itself. You see, if you look in page 5 of the Mariel, which reason does he bring? Look in the Mariel, page 5, which reason does he bring? The Muktza reason or the Mezonos Achav Alecha reason? What? Muktza. He says, So he says the muktzah reason. So that's what Rabbi Harfitz wants to understand. How come he gave the muktzah reason? But what about the other reason? Right? That would have been a just as good, if not a better reason to give. Because the muktzah reason, they said, Rabbi says, really doesn't apply if it's far away. But the zonoroson alecha reason does apply. So why is the Maril only say it from the perspective of a muktzah? There are two issues here of feeding the fish. Either because muktzah, you're not allowed to feed muktzah, and that's one halacha we saw in Shulchan Aruch. And then the other halacha of something that's not under your domain, it's not in the zonoroson alecha, that's called, as the Prophet pointed out, tirkish ol mutzar. And the Maril, when he says, when he criticizes the minhag for doing it, he says the book is a reason. So well, that's a weaker reason, because now the Torah, why does he say the mizonoson alecha reason? That's what Rabbi Harfinzi is trying to understand. So he wants to say this new chiddush that maybe the zonos and alecha only applies if you do it for the tzarach of the Baal Chai, that you do it for your own tzarach. If you do it for your own tzarach, you let him matriach a little bit maybe for your own tzarach, because the whole idea is tirka shalom with tzarach, but for me it's a tzarach. For the fish, that's not my tzarach, because in other words, if I have a fish tank at home, then I took in fish into my house, so I'm responsible to feed them. Even on Shabbos and Yom. Yeah, Adam?
What was that you're doing
for
yourself?
That's his Harfinzi, kind of show, that's his theory. That maybe Mesonos and Alecha doesn't apply to Tashlech. Because you're not doing it for the sake of the fish, you're doing it for your own sake.
Exactly.
What?
How exactly do you translate it?
I mean, some notion of tashit, you know, like a symbolic action of ridding yourself from others. Because, in other words, was the key question that Harfinis is asking is why does the Maril not quote the reason of the Zonoson Alecha? And he quotes the book's reason. Because the book's reason we saw the Magen Avraham doesn't always apply, right? Because if it's far away, it doesn't apply. In these cases, it's going to be far away anyway, so it's probably not going to apply. But he should have said it still also anyway, because Eim is Zonoson Alecha, which is called the Tircha Shalom Tzarech. That because of Shabbos, you're supposed to rest on Shabbos. Even things that are not Malacha, you're not supposed to be Matriach. So that's why Rabbi Harfin has said that maybe Meikar Adin, as Rav Shach always points out, that you shouldn't do it because it's not Mizono Sen of Halach. So therefore, he says that the people shouldn't throw, Shach says people should throw the bread into the thing. But Meisi, a lot of people do it. So a Limud Schus, he's trying to give a Limud Schus on these people that do it. So the Limud Schus is that Mitzad the reason of Magen Avraham, is that it's far away, so it's not kashash, and I'm going to feed them, I'm going to come to move it. And it's not mezonos and alecha, so the Maril doesn't quote that reason. Maybe that reason is only when you're doing it for the tzorach of the Baal Chai, but not when you're doing it for your own tzorach. So technically, Rav Harfinis writes that if there's an Erev in the area, and you're far away from the fish, which you really are, so then there's a child. It can be a tzad kula. Even though the maisa, as the Shachar points out, Pashas is, I mean, it's a chiddush. I mean, I don't know, is it so compelling, his svara? But the question is, Maril wasn't keen on it just for the muktzah reason. He didn't say, why did he speak about that other reason? That's the question. Yeah, Moshe?
Well, can we say this word that like words that are real? He's saying people should go to the water. So once you're already there, like maybe there's no tears left anymore. But you're already there. You have bread. So what's your tear for? And you're gonna go anyways, and you're not gonna make bread. So
well, your tear is you took bread. You took bread, and you know you had to get it's a tircha. Anything you have to do extra is a tircha.
What if there's bread already? Let's say like in the gates, let's say there happens to have bread. So then it starts your chara all. And just like walking over shelves by the water, it's nice.
And then he writes here, Rav Arfinus, he quotes the Tahas, on page 22, third line. Hey, Mashakosav HaTahas, Mesimim Tafresh Hei, B'tam Asha Mashlichim, B'nei Me'ayim, Shal HaKaporos, Al HaGagos, L'Ofos, K'da Or, B'da Sarachmim. When would they do this? You have a Shulchan Aruch? Safrei Shei, Gimel, or Chaim Gimel. Simon Tafresh Hey. Okay, thank you. If you look here, thank you. The Tafresh Hey. Tafresh Hey. Yeah, I mean, this is Gimel, you see, this is not a regular Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, so they have more volumes than, so maybe in the next one. Yeah. Thank you. Tafresh Hey. Yeah. Yeah, the Ramos says, he says, Zarkin, the name may end, Shah, Douglas, the Chatz, and Makam Shah, which is called him Kach Misham. Because they do Kaparos. Yesh lasim shchitah v'chemer yad lachah shech ziru alav samach yad alav demus ha-korban v'zorkin v'nei v'yayim shal ha-gor. So they used to, after they do the kaparos, they would throw the innards of the kaparos on Erev Yom Kippur on the roof so the birds could eat them. So the Taz says that's Ma'orim Ridas Harachamim. They did this on Erev Yom Kippur. So he says that maybe that's shot in why people throw on Shabbos Shira, because it's called Letzorach. It's Ma'or Rachamim. So it's considered, it's not considered Shalom Vatzorach. But if there would be an Erev, then there would be, wouldn't be an Erev, then that is a real Shiloh Vatzor. I mean, this is only, once there's an Erev, so there's no real Isser carry. So it's only a Tircha Shalom Vatzorach, so maybe you could say one of these farms. If it would be a real Isser, like a real Isser Vatzor, but Vatzor is Mutar Yantar, it's Vatzorach,
But that has to be some type of, you know, it can't be a, you know, far-fetched, more of a... Okay, so what we did today, Rav Osai, is we saw the Ramah's, the Maril's reason of the Medrash. We saw the concept of not to make of minig of dogim, malkum sheish bo dogim, and then we saw that the Toras Ola gives a different reason of the, that's the place where you see Briyas Olam, and then we saw the two reasons in the poskim why not to give either because of Muktza or because of Tirchus Olam Tzarach. And the Maharil only quotes the reason of Muktza, and Rabbi Harfinus wants to understand why, and says because maybe the reason of Shalom Tzarech doesn't apply, because it's for your Tzarech. So maybe that would be okay, and therefore he thinks, Rav Shachar always says you shouldn't do it because of Ein Mizanos HaMalecha. But it's interesting that the Maharil, who's the first one to quote this whole thing, and quotes the problem, doesn't say that reason. He says the reason of Muktza. And so that's the question of maybe Muktzah, and Muktzah, the Magen Avraham says, wouldn't be a problem if it's far away. Because then there's no chashash that you're going to come to Mittal. Okay, everybody, so tomorrow we'll continue with Hashem.